Wow, Father's Day. So, we are going to be just kind of, I want to unpack a couple of stories in the Bible. And I want to just preface by saying this. It is a day to celebrate fathers, so obviously my sermon emphasis is talking about godly fathers, but I want to say that all of these principles that I'm going to share today, it applies to men who aren't fathers but who are mentors. It applies to moms. It applies to ladies and who aren't mothers, and it applies to all of us as Christians. But I want us to look at just a couple of things. There's so much that the Bible tells us about fatherhood. I mean, we have a Father, a Holy Father that's in heaven, and a couple of just aspects that I think that the Bible reveals about Him and about us and our relationship. And so I want to start off by first of all saying in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 through 19, godly fathers give advice. They give guidance. In the book of Ephesians, Paul writes in chapter 5, he's talking about husband-wife relationship and parent-child relationship. And one of the things he says, fathers, don't frustrate your children. I violate that all the time. I know at least this weekend, twice. I had an experience this week. How about this? Of out test driving, but Jalen's learning to drive. Okay, I'll just say it that way. I drew the short straw, I'm just joking. And I had the privilege. It really is a privilege to try to teach your kids stuff. And we went out, and so here's the thing. You have to give guidance. If you ever try to teach somebody to do anything, nothing is more infuriating than when you don't tell them what they're supposed to be doing, and then they don't do it right, and then you're just mad at them, and then they're like, but I didn't know what to do, and then you're like, well, you should have just known, right? We do this all the time. I'm really bad about that sometimes. Like, why don't you know this? Oh, yeah, because you haven't lived 30, 40, 50 years. Like, you don't have the experience. So a godly father, a godly man, a godly mother, a godly person who's trying to pass on, that we should give guidance. So in Proverbs chapter 1, beginning of verse 8, the writer says this, listen, my son, to your father's instructions, and do not forsake your mother's teachings. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. I just want to pause right there. Most kids, when they receive instruction from their parents, they do not see this as garland on their head and a chain of beauty around their neck. Now, they may see it as shackles, as this burden, but it really, truly is. And God's law, the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation, it is here to teach us. And sometimes we have this feeling that as though he's trying to put this weight around our neck and weigh us down, but it's just the opposite. When you hear these words, hear God our Father telling us, my instruction is to be a garland and to adorn you. Verse 10, my son, if sinful men entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, come along with us, let's lie in wait for innocent blood and let's ambush some harmless soul. Let's swallow them alive like the grave and go down into the pit. We will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Cast lots with us and we will share the loot. In other words, when people come along and they've got some scheme and they want you to go and do something that you know is not right, here's what he says. Verse 15, my son, do not go along with them. Do not set your foot on their path. He's giving this person guidance. Christ is giving us guidance through his holy word right here. Verse 16, for their feet rush to evil and they are swift to shed blood. How useless to spread a net where every bird can see it. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush only themselves. Verse 19, such are the paths of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the life of those who get it. And that's just the opening. You could go on chapter after chapter after chapter of the writers telling us, giving guidance, giving us advice. And that's what godly fathers are supposed to do. That's what our godly father does. And we should seek it and we should obey it. But I don't know about you, but my parents tried to give me godly advice, but I occasionally disobeyed. And maybe as Christians, we occasionally disobey. And here's the great thing. The next thing I want us to see about fathers is a godly father gives forgiveness. A godly father gives forgiveness. Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 31. It's the story of what most people would call the story of the prodigal son, the lost son. But I would love to rename it today, the story of the loving father. Where the emphasis always seems to be on the son who's just, let's just be honest, he's a jerk. He's a whiner. He goes to his dad and he's like, "Dad, I just can't wait for you to die, so can you please give me my money now?" And what's this loving dad do? He says, "All right." And he gives him his inheritance. And the son's like, "Thanks." And he's like, "I'm out of here." He goes to the big city, and boy, he's living it up. I think about my own life, even as a Christian. We tell this story a lot of times because to emphasize to those who are not Christian, who have gone away. But let me say, I really believe there's a lot of Christians who follow this pattern. We have received the greatest inheritance of all time of forgiveness and grace and mercy and salvation. And we're like, "Thanks, Dad." And then we go and we squander it. And sometimes we do it on purpose. Sometimes not so much on purpose. Sometimes we're just, I'm going to use a spiritual Greek term here, okay? Stupid. We're just stupid. We are just human beings. And we battle and we fight. Romans chapter 7, Paul says, we wrestle with ourselves. I do the things I don't want to do. And the things I know I should do, I don't do. There's just times that we do things that in retrospect, we just, forget that I should have had a V8. Like, I shouldn't have done that. What was I thinking? Sometimes those sins, they take us to dark places. Sometimes those sins have immediate consequences. Much like this young man, this prodigal son, his sin led him directly to a dark place, and he finds himself in the pigsty. Now, I'm not a farmer, I'm not a hog person, but I had the privilege of, when I was in high school, one of my buddies was, and I used to kind of harass him a little bit about hanging out with all the hogs until he sold them and then bought a car. And I'm like, "How do I get one of those? I mean, come on." But I remember going and helping him. And I'm going to tell you, they're not the cleanest of animals. They're not really the smartest of animals. And here's this prodigal son, and he's serving them. That's how low he is. And that's how sometimes our sin is. It has immediate consequences. Sometimes a sin occurs and it doesn't seem to have immediate consequences. And Satan hangs on to it. Especially for those of us who are believers. And I believe this with all my heart because I've experienced it in my own life and I've seen it in others. It may be a year, it may be 5 years, it may be 7 years. And Satan will put that out there and trip a person up. And use sin to disrupt their life. And that person may be right there in the pigsty. But here's the story. We don't just stop right there. The prodigal son's like, you know what? I repent. I realize my mistake. Maybe it was immediate or maybe it was a few years ago. It doesn't matter when that mistake was. When that person has repented and he's truly sorry, he can go back to his house. And here's what the father does. I don't care what you've done. I know he comes back, the son comes back. He's like, I know I probably don't deserve anything. But the father's like, you know what? You do. And he welcomes him back and he restores him to his sonhood. He restores him to his position in the family. That's what a godly father and godly people do. A lot of us are like the older brother in this story, because what happens at the end of the story is there's this brother who he was there the whole time. He's like, Dad, I didn't mess up. I've been faithful. Why would you do this for this? You've never even shed a little blood. You never had like even a lamb to have a little barbecue for me. But this guy who did this horrible thing, you bring him back and bring him this party and you slaughter your favorite cow and you have everybody come back and celebrate that he's been restored. Luke 15, verse 29, but he answered, I'm sorry, verse 30. This son of yours has squandered your property with prostitutes, the older brother speaking. Verse 31, my son, the father said, you were always with me and everything I have is yours. But we have to celebrate and be glad because your brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. For those of us who are already believers, he got tangled up into some sin, but he has repented and I have restored him. We should celebrate he is part of the family again. Don't be the older brother who just holds it against him. His older brother will always see his younger brother as the guy who squandered and messed up. But godly fathers, godly men, godly people, we offer forgiveness and restoration. The third thing that I want us to see is this. It's one thing that we try to teach our kids, and godly fathers do that, and godly fathers will forgive and restore. But they don't just go there. They're encouraging. They give praise. Godly fathers give praise. That's the third thing. In Mark chapter 1, it's the story of Jesus being baptized. Mark chapter 1, verse 9. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth into Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, and this is what it said, you are my son, whom I love, and I am well pleased. I've read that story, I've heard that story 1,000 times, but this week as I was preparing for this and I was praying and thinking about this, here's the thing that really struck me, and I want us to see this. He praised his son before his son ever did what he was supposed to do. Jesus hasn't been to the cross yet. He hasn't gone to hell and brought those who were in captivity out of captivity yet. He hasn't been resurrected. And he hasn't established his kingdom fully here on earth. He is just getting started. Because we have this Heavenly Father who gives us a praise and encouragement. And that's what I believe we should do. Godly fathers, yes, they give instruction. And our Godly Father holds us to his law. He wants us to follow his commandments. But he knows us. Sometimes we're going to squander it. Sometimes we're going to mess up. But he's there to forgive us, and not just forgive us, but restore us. And he encourages us. Not after that we've done some great thing, but before it. That's the thing that I want to see us do. Not just godly fathers, godly men, but just as a church. So today, as we celebrate Father's Day, I am thankful for a father who loves me. Yes, he gives me instruction. Yes, he holds me accountable. But when I mess up, he forgives me, he restores me, and he encourages me. May we be more like God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for that forgiveness and restoration. God, thank you so much. It's not just once, it's not just twice. God, you do it so many times. For some of us, it seems like a daily event as we daily struggle. But God, just thank you for your grace and your mercy. And as we sang earlier, your faithfulness. On this Father's Day, we celebrate our Father, which are in heaven. May his name be praised. Amen.